used to happen. Officials would make a call, and hey, and I know I've heard stories from both officials and players. They admit afterwards, yeah, you know what, it was the wrong call. But we saw it most notably over the weekend, Pittsburgh-Chicago, a game. And clearly it was the right call to overturn it. But Sidney Crosby was whistled for a penalty. He was in the penalty box. The officials were talking about it. Then Crosby got out of the box, wasn't assessed a penalty. Is this the new wave of the future? What's the concerns? Because now I think every player is going to want their call to be reviewed. To discuss it, former NHL referee, now analyst on TSN, doing all things NHL officiating, Carey Fraser joins us once again. Carey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Jason. Thank you.
Now, Carey, I know you were a long time ago had mentioned this was something you think officials should do more of. And when you ref when there was really only one official, and so there wasn't the time to have that extra set of eyes. But is this opening Pandora's box a little bit by not using review and just having guys deciding on the ice if it's the right decision? Or do you think this is one that will lead to more video? Where's the NHL going with this?
Well, I'd certainly prefer that the officials render the correct call on the ice, whether it's through a team meeting over at the referee's crease or whether or not somebody just steps up and says, you know what, I think I was wrong and I'm going to change that. The downside, though, is it may open Pandora's box. Who needs a coach's appeal when the officials gather after, certain calls that have been made and can change it. We all want to get it right, though. That's the bottom line.
So now you talk to your officiating brethren, because I know I was reading the article and, you know, players are talking about, well, why wasn't mine overturned? Right. I think it was Johnny Boychuk. Definitely there was a play where, you know, guy stepped on a stick. He didn't think it was or didn't step on a stick or Boychuk fell and they called a penalty on him. Excuse me. So how do you know when's the right time to conference and when isn't?
Well, you know, There's four sets of eyes on the ice, and they each have a different perspective in the moment. This isn't the first time. I think the tip of the spear, Gregor, actually happened on October 29th, and it was a game between Washington and Detroit, and there was a horrific call made Braden Holtby was backing into his crease after fielding the puck, and he fell down, almost tripped over the goal line on his own, and Luke Glendening, who was 8 to 10 feet away at that point, moving towards a free puck, was penalized by the neutral zone referee for goalie interference. The complication to that call, as the whistle blew, was that Drew Miller of Detroit was shooting the puck into the open net with Holtby laying on his back. That goal was disallowed. It had horrible optics. The down-low referee should have been focused on the puck in the corner and would have seen that there was no contact as he looked through and beyond Holtby. It didn't happen. I wrote a column the next day and made suggestions. The questioner asked me, what would you do? And I laid it all out. I said, I would have gotten to that neutral zone guy. That was a long-distance call. We would have had a team meeting, and that penalty would have been overturned through a gathering of the minds. And that happened exactly that way the very next night with an L.A. King-Pittsburgh game in Pittsburgh. And Jarrett Stoll was being penalized by referee Greg Kimmerle, again, a neutral zone position call, when Brandon Sutter simply turned and fell at the blue line in close proximity to Stoll. They had put Kimmerle had put Stoll in the penalty box. His co-referee, Steve Cazzari, skated over. They had a brief discussion, and then Stoll was waived and taken out of the penalty box. So that penalty was reversed in that case. You know, we've seen it. We saw it Sunday recently with Sidney Crosby. Johnny Oduya simply stepped on the stick blade of Sidney Crosby. That's not a penalty. It was incidental contact and inadvertent fall. But they got it right in the end. The thing that troubles me, Gregor, is that there's just too much of this happening. My question is, why are guys not in position to see this the first time? We also had one in Montreal where a double minor was going to be assessed by the neutral zone referee when a puck hit Olli Jokinen off the glass in the face with two Montreal players in close proximity again. And it was Don Henderson, the linesman on that blue line, that was able to advise the referee that it was, in fact, the puck that hit Jokinen in the face and cut him over the eye. So that would have been a four-minute penalty had the linesman not stepped up, seen the play clearly from his angle. So we're getting, you know, some consistency here with the calls that are being overturned and done in the right way.
Kerry Fraser joins us, a former NHL official. Kerry, you talk about not being in the right position. When you watch all the games, and you'll obviously watch the officials a lot closer than I will and know what position they're supposed to be in, why are guys in the wrong position so often?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I learned very early in my career, and I learned watching Wayne Gretzky had vision of the ice. Wayne knew not where the puck was in the moment, but he knew like 3-4 chess moves down the board where players were going to be. And it was actually watching a clip, a highlight clip of Gretzky skating in on the defenseman in the neutral zone just before the blue line. He was eyes straight ahead throughout the entire camera frame. There was nobody but the D-man and Gretzky looking eye to eye. All of a sudden, Wayne threw the puck behind his back with a no-look pass. There was nobody in the camera frame. All of a sudden, Yuri Curry streaked into the camera frame, never broke stride. It was tape to tape with a no-look pass behind his back. And I went, wow, how did Gretzky know that Curry was going to be there in that moment in time to get the puck on his stick? And I came up with a philosophy that Wayne took little pictures of the ice constantly with his eyes and head moving. He knew where everybody was now, but based on their body posture, their speed, their direction, where they would be down the chess move. And officials have to develop that sense. They have to know where the puck is going to be because players attack the puck. Referees have to retreat from the puck. And being a little guy, I'm vertically challenged. I had to move my feet because I was always going to be blocked out by players. Everybody was bigger than me. So I had to see the play and try and develop that awareness like Gretzky, Lemieux, and the great players had with a field of vision of the ice. Well, I'm not seeing it today, Gregor, at all.
Why not, do you think, Kerry?
Well, the game is faster. We have also, but that's not an excuse. You've got to up the ante. You've got to develop the officials at a rate that is going to conform to the level of play. We also see that the young officials that are being brought in are used now to working in a two-referee system. It's a whole different kettle of fish when you're out there by yourself and you have to make decisions as opposed to decision by committee or video review that's looking big guys looking over your shoulder. I see so many times around the net when a call has to be made, but there's not a signal. They huddle. They come up with a goal or no goal in the committee meeting, and then they get on the phone and go to video review. So I think that they have to be coached better. You've got a lot of young players in Edmonton, and they need coaching. And I'll tell you, you can't find a better coach for young players than the guy you've got there, Craig Ramsey. He's like a father figure. He sees the game, he knows the game, and he's a good communicator with the young players, and that's what's needed for the officiating department as well. They've got to get these young guys, because there's an influx of them, they've got to get them calmed down, they've got to get them in front of a video to break things down and telestrate, show where they are, where they needed to be, and get them to move their feet.
Kerry Fraser joins us. Now, Kerry, so this type of coach from officials, doesn't the league have ex-officials working with those guys?
Well, I guess they have, but obviously it's not working very effectively because on most nights, I see same kind of mistakes being made. And we're having huddles on a more frequent basis to get the call right. And I think that there needs to be a better job done and certainly more of the work off the ice with video, with DVD now. I'm showing my age with video. But you have to break it down, and you have to have an analytical mind. And that's something that, when I started, I had to try to find a better way. I came right out of playing junior hockey, had no experience as a referee. We didn't have a lot of supervision at that time. So every game that I would go back to the hotel and I would replay things, even if the game went okay, I would think of better ways that I could have achieved a better result. And you have to do that right from this time you start in this industry till your very last game, because you can't sit on your laurels and just think that you know it all, because you sure as heck don't.
Do you think anonymity of the officials, just having a number and not their name on the back, is hurting the relationship between officials and players?
I think it has. I can give you a specific where I had a game in Phoenix one night, and Shane Doan came to me after the national anthem, and he said, Kerry, what's your number so-and-so's first name? And I told him, and he said, thanks very much. I said, why do you ask? Did you have a problem? He said, no, I like to call them by their first name, and I really don't know many of these guys. So the success in any industry is developing relationships. And there were times, and from even my first year in the league and my first encounter with Wayne Gretzky, that was a difficult situation. I learned a lot. I learned that as Wayne was trying to fall down and dive and draw the Northlands crowd against me, which he did very quickly, I became stubborn. And in that stubbornness, I let some things go that were penalties. And, you know, in the short term, I may have thought I was teaching the great one a lesson. But after the game, in reflection, I felt bad about cheating the game and not doing the job that I needed to do, and uphold the integrity of the game and the rules. And so that's just, you know, sort of one learning experience. But we develop relationships with players all the way along. And you can't have any success without being able to communicate and talk to players, and players being able to communicate and talk to you as an official.
One last one, Kerry. Really appreciate it. I've noticed officials, you know, there's a lot more of them now below the goal line, and I'm assuming that's because there's the extra official on the ice. Is that the right position? Because they seem to be caught up in the play more there.
Oh, Gregor, is that a pet peeve of mine? I got to tell you, that is no man's land. If you think about a dump in from the red line in, and a referee's positioning, his bread and butter is in the end zone. That's where all the action is. They're cycling the puck. You've got to give the players the space. You can't be tight to them. So if you think about a dump-in and the puck goes into a certain corner, it's usually battled for in the corner. And if the referee sets himself up below the goal line, and the worst place is at the trapezoid line up the back wall, because now he has a situation where if the play comes to him, he's going to be collapsed on from both sides. You're stuck. You can't go anywhere. You've got to retreat from the puck. So when that puck ends up in a corner or in a location, you've got to adjust your position away from it in advance of the cavalry coming to attack that puck. So you're really astute in terms of officiating when you see these guys standing below the goal line. Mm-hmm. It's a dangerous spot too on a shot from the point. Any deflection is going to come, you know, catch it in your teeth sort of thing. So it's the worst place you can possibly be. If you have to move behind the net, you do it quickly, vacate the area, and go to open ice when the players, before they attack the puck.
And Kerry, one last one on the whole on-ice conference call between officials. From guys, should we expect to see more of this, or will it gravitate to just them more instant video reviews of actually reviewing plays that were penalties?
Well, I don't believe that we're going to see less of it. I think that the bottom line is we're getting calls corrected. Incorrect calls that are being corrected. And that's what we would all hope for. That's what the players want. We don't have a coach's challenge, and we don't have a situation where there can be a video review for goalkeeper interference. And Gregor, that's the most difficult call that referees have to make, is in and around the crease with traffic and crashing the net. And they're really handicapped at not being able to review that play. I don't want Toronto reviewing that play. I want to see the referees have a monitor, as Brian Burke and Brian Murray proposed in the last general managers meeting, actually in the summer, where a monitor would be put in the penalty box and have the referees make that determination That's what they get paid for. They're paid to make that call. And if it takes a video review, they should be the guys to do it.
Kerry, excellent stuff. Really informative. I really appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Jason.